Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Following the introduction by Dr. Bob Jones III, our speaker will be Reverend Chuck Kittrell, Jr., evangelist and BJU representative from Waynesboro, Georgia. The title of his message is, What Keeps You Running in the Christian Race? The text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27.
Evangelist Chuck Kittrell is one of nine children. The Kittrell clan loves and serves God in all kinds of roles in many places. Evangelist Mark Kittrell, Chuck's brother, has preached here as opening evangelistic preacher on recent occasions. Chuck Kittrell himself, evangelist, youth worker, has since 1993 been representing BJU in churches and schools throughout the Southeast. Many of you know him as your friend and mentor. You have been influenced by his life in many ways. And I'm glad he can be here to preach for us. His whole life has been about young people. For 9 years, he was his father's youth director in Indianapolis, where his father spent most of his life as pastor until he recently went home to be with the Lord. So his life is about young people. He graduated from here in the early 1980s. He and his wife both met here and graduates of here. We're glad that his family can be with him these days as well during their visit, his mother-in-law included. And his son Eric is a junior business student here also. And Caitlin and his son Nathan also are here as part of the family visiting. We're so glad to have them on campus. And I know God's going to bless him and use him. Would you please pray as you think of it for his mother, who he just learned last night has terminal cancer, a very aggressive and rare cancer for which there is no treatment. And she is anxious to be with the Lord, having recently given up her husband to the Lord's presence. But it's a time for the family, a difficult time. And please pray for the Kittrell family as you think of them. Brother Chuck, come and preach for us, would you?
Thank you, Dr. Jones. It is a joy to be with you and speak in chapel today. I feel it is an honor and a privilege to be here on campus. I thank God every time I'm able to get on campus. I don't get up here much, but when I do, it is such a blessing to see many of the students. I've preached in your chapels all across America, and it's exciting to see you here on campus to talk with you about the things that God is doing in your life, and it blesses my heart. I pray that some of you will seriously consider staying on and working for the university after you graduate. It is such a blessing. I've spent 15 years of my life here, and I love my job. I love working with young people. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. Probably a familiar passage to you. We'll start reading with verse number 24 and read down through the end of the chapter. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. I love to watch track and field events, especially during the Summer Olympics. I've seen my share of exciting races. Probably the most exciting race I believe I ever saw took place in the 1972 Olympics held in Munich, Germany. It was the 800-meter race. A fellow by the name of Evgeny Arzhanov from the Soviet Union was a favorite to win the gold.
There was one young man, however, from the USA. He was the only young man from the U.S. competing in this race. He was not favored to even place. He was not favored to get a medal. He had just barely been able to qualify because of an injury. His name was David Waddle. And the first lap of the race, he was 40 meters behind the lead runners. Still, he did not give up. He focused, because he didn't want to finish in last place, he focused on the runner ahead of him, and he overtook that runner. And with that same focus, he overtook runner after runner until only three remained between him and the finish line and the gold medal. With less than 100 meters to go, he overtook the two Kenyan runners in front of him, and just barely crossed the finish line ahead of the runner from the Soviet Union. He won the gold. If you're ever able to view a replay of that race, which I have done just recently, I think you will agree with me it was probably one of the most exciting races in Olympic history. You know, it's obvious to anyone who has read the epistles of the Apostle Paul that he must have loved athletics. In fact, one of the analogies that he uses more than once is that of a runner in a race. The runner is the Christian. The Christian life is the race. And in verse 24, the Apostle Paul talks about a runner receiving the prize for placing first in the race. Every competitive runner who starts a race is focused on one thing: winning the race. Finishing first. And if that's not his focus is on the wrong thing. Hal Higdon, who's a senior writer for Runner's World magazine, writes this in an article I just recently read. The end goal of any beginning running program should be continuing. First, you have to get in good enough shape to be able to run for 30 minutes at a time. Then you move on to another running goal. Then you continue doing it for the rest of your life. Of course, during a lifetime of running, it's only natural we go through phases that range from enthusiasm to ennui. We pursue goals, we achieve triumphs, we suffer defeats. Injuries sometimes plague us, boredom sets in, the seasons change, the weather is too cold or too hot or just right. We need to find something that will keep us going. Let me ask you something this morning. What keeps you going in your Christian race? What keeps you running in the Christian race? You know, it's no wonder that Paul compares running to the Christian life, because there's so many parallels. We all go through different phases in our Christian life. Sometimes we suffer defeats. We go through trials. The seasons of our life change. Sometimes we're on the mountaintop, sometimes we're in the valley. Yet during these phases, we must never lose focus. All of the phases of our Christian race are propelling us to the goal of being conformed to the image of Christ. That was Paul's focus. And that should be the desire of our hearts. If we're not focusing on that goal of being conformed to the image of Christ, then all of the spiritual training that we go through is in vain. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul says this in verse number 10, that I may know Him. How great is your desire to know God? How focused are you on being conformed to the image of Christ? Near the end of his life, Paul wrote these words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. You know, when I read that portion of Scripture, I can just feel the excitement in Paul's voice. He sees the finish line. He knows he's run a good race. From the time that God got his attention on the Damascus Road and he was gloriously saved until the time that he was martyred for his faith in Christ, Paul's focus was on one thing: being conformed to Christ. Where is your focus right now? If your main focus is on anything but being conformed to the image of God's Son, every day that you live on this earth, your focus is on the wrong thing. If your focus is on making a lot of money in your profession when you graduate from here, your focus is on the wrong thing. When you focus on laying up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal, that's when you start becoming conformed to the image of Christ. If your focus is right, you're going to be witnessing for the Lord. I had the opportunity this past Saturday to run the Reedy River 10K. An exciting race. I enjoyed running it. After I finished, I was walking back to my car, and I saw two young men. I knew they were students from Bob Jones. And they were standing on the corner of Main Street, on one of the corners there, passing out gospel tracts. I said, thank God, there's a couple of young men who have their focus right. The devil wants you to think that your focus right now, your main focus should be on your studies. And though you should be doing your best in that area, and that's all a part of your training, you can get so caught up in your studies that you neglect the things of God, like reading your Bible and having your personal prayer time, or going on extension. And anything that takes your focus from Christ, whether it be your studies, whether it be the desire for material wealth, or anything else, is a hindrance to you running the race and finishing well. The writer of Hebrews, whom I believe was the Apostle Paul, uses the running analogy again in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. He says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, there's your focus right there, young people. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Was Christ focused? You bet He was. He was focused on one thing, and that was coming to this earth to die on the cross for you and me. Satan tried on numerous occasions to shift his focus, but Christ remained steadfast, and I'm so glad he did. Ken McAlpine, in an article entitled Digging Deep, talks about a runner's focus during a long distance run. He says that during the tough times of a long endurance run, a runner needs to, quote, focus. And whatever the object of focus, the premise is the same. Concentrating wholeheartedly on one thing doesn't leave much room for anything else. End quote. In a race, if a runner focuses on his hurts or how hard the course is, he's going to falter. And in the Christian race, it's the same way. If you focus on the trials that you're going through, you're going to falter. We have to focus wholeheartedly on Christ, and how the trials we go through are conforming us to His image. And that doesn't leave much room for anything else to slip in and take our focus off of Christ. A good runner always prepares for a race by focusing not on his past accomplishments or failures, but on the task at hand. One of the easiest ways to lose a race is if a runner takes his mind off the task at hand and starts thinking about things that he's done in the past. We find out what the Apostle Paul did about those things in Philippians chapter 3, where again, he uses another running analogy. This one thing I do, Philippians 3:13, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'll guarantee you, David Waddle would have never won the gold medal in the 72 Olympics 800 meter had he focused on the position he was in on the first lap. He was 40 meters behind the lead runners. Paul said, I'm going to forget what's in the past. I'm going to focus on the things that are before me. You know those words reaching forth there in verse 13 literally mean to stretch forward. And in my mind, I can just see the Apostle Paul visualizing a runner in a race stretching for the finish line. How convenient that Satan brings up our past failures to cause us to lose focus. Sometimes he brings up our accomplishments so that there's that tendency to have pride creep into our hearts. Earlier in Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul wrote about some of his accomplishments. Yet he said in verse 8 of Philippians 3, I count all of those things as loss for Jesus Christ, my Savior. I count them as dung, as refuse. Paul was looking to the future. He had so many things he wanted to do for Christ. I'm sure Satan tried on numerous occasions to bring up Paul's past failures. How he held the coats for those who stoned Stephen. The people that he had either murdered or thrown in jail for their Christian faith. Yet he kept his mind focused. Not only does Satan try to get us to focus on the past, he tries to get us to focus on the trials we're going through. He tried to do that with Job. We all go through trials in this life. If you're not going through one now, there's probably one right around the corner. But it's all a part of our training in this Christian race. And with the proper focus and spiritual discipline, God will see you through whatever trial you're going through right now. And you'll come out on the better side of the trial, a better and stronger Christian. Look at what Paul says in verses 25 to 27 of 1 Corinthians 9. Every man that striveth for the mastery, that struggles, that fights for the mastery, is temperate. He exercises self-restraint, discipline in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Paul said, I'm certain. I know what I'm focused on. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. I know who my adversary is, Paul says. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Sometimes during a road race, a runner will come upon a hill. And if he's not expecting the hill can be a killer. Especially if he hasn't done any hill training. Such was my case this past Saturday. I came up on the hill at mile 5. I had done absolutely no hill training. And consequently, I paid for it. But even then, you cannot focus on the hill. If you do, you're going to falter. You have to focus on something else. When you go through trials in the Christian race, God is preparing you for the next hill. And you can't focus on the hill. You know it's coming, but you know you're going to have to rely on God's strength to help you make it through. And the hill training that you go through prepares you for the hills that you're going to face in the future. You focus on God and you focus on how He's conforming you through the trials to the image of His Son. You'll be stronger after the hill training. 8 months after our oldest son Charlie was born, we found out that he had cancer. And after fighting that battle for 2.5 years, God took him home. It was a roller coaster ride for us as new parents. And to be quite honest with you, there were times when I lost my focus. There were times when I questioned God about what we were going through. But God performed some amazing miracles over that 2.5 years, and He showed Himself strong in so many ways. Little did we know that God was using our son to get next to the heart of his doctor. And we rejoiced to lead him to Christ 2 months after God took Charlie home. God was taking us through some hill training to prepare us for trials down the road. I know some of you have gone through some trials even greater than that. What you've gone through seemed like mountains compared to mine. But all of the trials that we go through are a training process in the Christian race. And the Christian race is not a short sprint. It's an endurance run. It's a lifelong process. And when we get to the finish line, we can say with joy and rejoicing, it was worth it all. You know, anyone who starts an exercise program and is stuck with it enjoys the benefits of better health, better strength, stamina, and so on. But at the beginning, sometimes we question, is this really worth it? It's hard to stick with an exercise program starting out. That's why so many people break New Year's resolutions, because it takes discipline. But when you start seeing the benefits of good health, that's when you say, yeah, it was worth it. Sometimes we get discouraged when we go through the trials and our flesh questions, is living the Christian life really worth it? But any Christian who has finished the race well will tell you without hesitation, it was worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. The spiritual hill training, sometimes rigorous, but it'll be worth it all when you cross the finish line. Attendance here at Bob Jones University is part of your spiritual training. What some of you students are going through right now, tough trials, it's part of your spiritual training. But if you stick with it and you stay true to the training regimen while you're here, you'll be a better Christian and servant for the Lord when you graduate. However, if you look at your training here as something to be endured, and you can't wait to get out and live your life like you want to live it, then you're going to get absolutely nothing out of the training. I don't care how much book knowledge that you get. And you're going to falter when you come to the hills of life, because you've skipped the hill training. I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago in Wisconsin. He completed his first marathon last October. He said it was one of the most thrilling things he'd ever done in his life. The excitement of crossing that finish line to the cheers and the excitement, he said, was something I'll never forget. One of these days I'd like to do that. I know I got a lot more to learn, got a lot more training to do. Sometimes I'll miss a scheduled run, and when I do, it kills me. I feel like something's missing. What about your Christian race? Are you so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and being conformed to His image that when you miss your daily Bible reading or prayer time, you feel like something's missing in your life that day? If you sacrifice your spiritual fitness today, you'll pay for it tomorrow. In the Christian life, we may not have the same goals. It all depends on what vocation the Lord has called us to. We all have a different course to run, but we meet at the same finish line.
And there's one goal that we should all have in common: to finish the course and to finish it well. You know, the greatest thrill of my life would be to hear my Savior say to me at the finish line, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I may be scarred, I may be injured, but at the end of my life, I want to be able to say, I have no regrets. I gave it everything I had. I finished my course, and it was worth it all. As Dr. Bob shared with you, I just found out last night from my brother that my mom has terminal cancer, a very rare, very aggressive form of terminal cancer. Here's some more hill training in my Christian race. More spiritual lessons to learn, more opportunities to glorify God, to serve Him, to see Him conform me to the image of Christ. And you know what? I trust my coach because I have the greatest coach in the world. He's perfect. He knows just the type of training I need because he's run the course before me. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, I can see his footprints all the way. One thing you and I can be assured of is that we're not running the race alone. Our coach is right there with us. Every step of the way. He's been with us through all the training. He'll be with us as we cross the finish line. Will you finish the race well? Focus on the goal. Train well and discipline yourself spiritually. And you'll find that when you finish the race, you'll be able to look back and say without hesitation and with excitement, as the Apostle Paul, it was worth it all.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Chuck Kittrell, Jr., evangelist and BJU representative from Waynesboro, Georgia. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.